We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, a fun part of a game this week at Fenway was, once again, Yastrzemski infused. Other than that, not a lot to podcast about. On Wednesday night at Fenway, Grandpa Yaz threw out a ceremonial first pitch to grandson Yaz. But then young Yaz's team went out and beat the snot out of the Sox. Career win number 1999 for Bruce Bochy. Loss number 73 this year for the Sox, with 11 games still to go now. Yeah, a year after 108-54 and a World Series title, it is suddenly not impossible that this team finishes right around 500. So rather than stew about that, let's play the music and picture some more Carl Yastrzemski first pitches. This is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast.
Make this one short and sweet, because let's face it, once the Yaz to Yaz first pitch took place, that was the highlight. And now you're talking about a Red Sox team that is going to finish quite likely under 500 at home. Could they really be steering towards 500 for the year? Josh Lewin with you. One good thing happened in this game. Rafael Devers, home run number 30. He did it. He's been stuck on 29 for a good long time. But Devers putting up some magical numbers this year. How magical is magical? I know you guys want some sort of ammo for that, right? Well, the 11th player ever with 30 homers, 100 plus runs batted in, and 100 runs in a season before turning 23. Juan Soto has now done it too. But other than that, Miguel Cabrera, Albert Pujols, A-Rod, Eddie Matthews, a guy named Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Hal Trosky, old double X Jimmy Fox, and Mel Ott, who had the easiest signature ever. A lot easier than Jared Saltalamacchia, that's for darn sure. So a great select company. We can, I guess, talk about that for another minute, but that would just be kind of pandering at this point. Let's talk about games started by what was supposed to be the top four of this rotation this year: Sale, Price, Eovaldi, and Porcello. Red Sox have gone 43-44 in those starts with a combined ERA of 5.05. That group also made up $82 million of the team's payroll this year. With Tampa Bay on the horizon, that series about to begin, Tampa Bay's big three is 30-12 with a 3.2 ERA, not 5.05. And that doesn't include Blake Snell, by the way, who was kind of their Chris Sale last year, right? Won a Cy Young last year. He hasn't been healthy this year, 6-7, 4.19. But Morton, Glasnow, Chirinos, that's a big three, and that's why Tampa Bay is in such great shape. David Price is going to be shut down from here on. Surgery could end up being an option to deal with that wrist situation. All he can do right now is throw a fastball, basically. Anything that has a little bit of wiggle to it, he just is not comfortable throwing. So he's going to finish this year in his age 34 season, 7-5 with a 4.28. Very similar numbers to what we just talked about with Blake Snell. We will see Chris Sale on this upcoming road trip down in Tampa. He's making progress, and that's good, but he's not going to pitch again this year. And I guess all we're left to do now is just talk about what the Red Sox had to throw out there in this game, because it wasn't Price. It wasn't Sale. They ended up starting Julius Chacin, and there's a reason he got last seen by the Milwaukee Brewers about a month, month and a half ago. They got tired of a 5.7 ERA. He's got that for the Red Sox now. Gave up four runs in 2 2/3. Bobby Pointer pitched for a little bit. Brian Johnson, two quality innings, but even with that, his ERA is now 6.21. Lakin's pitched an inning. Mike Schworn pitched and got hit hard. Colton Brewer pitched. Hector Velazquez gave up four runs in 2/3 of an inning. Ryan Weber finished up as the Giants ended up with 11 runs on the scoreboard. I know, not what you wanted to hear in a quick turnaround podcast. Let's quickly turn around to Alex Cora, though. Let's hear from the manager after this latest disappointment.
I think first, you know, I want to congratulate Bruce Bochy. 2,000 wins at this level, you know, like, that's kind of like unreal. You know, I think everybody that gets to his job wished they can last that long and be able to do what he has done throughout his career. I know people focus on the stuff, whatever, but he's a winner. You know, 2,000 and the rings and the way he's gone about the business. I mean, it's been amazing. So, congratulations.
I was just going to ask you what you saw from Chacín in terms of what was different tonight.
He didn't make a pitch on Vogt. I think it was a 1-2 fastball up in the zone. He gets to it. Then he made some adjustments throughout. But early on, no fastball command, which actually hurt him with the Brewers. And, you know, he relies on the slider. But if you don't respect the fastball, then they can sit on it and stay back and then battle and then, you know, get him up in the zone and put good swings on it.
Devers becomes the youngest player since 1965 to reach 30 home runs. Is there any other way to kind of describe the seasons he's had at the plate and the field holistically?
He's put it all together. And the most important thing is that he's not pleased with what's going on with us. That's the most important thing. He can go for six, and we win, and you always see him smiling on that line after the game is over. Or, you know, we win and he doesn't make a play. He puts his teammates in a bad spot and he's upset about it. I think it was the game he went 6-for-6 in Cleveland. He was upset because he didn't make a play. And that's who he is, and we're very proud of him. That's the mentality that we have to have as an organization, you know, be a winner. And you know, it's funny because the other day he's like, oh, this is the first time I'm going to be in the playoffs. I'm like, dude, you only have 2.5 years in the big league, so you'll be okay, you know. he made some adjustments in the off season, and he's paying off. He's working hard at it. I do feel he was actually pressuring himself to hit 30, and now he can breathe, and maybe he's going to take off again. But overall, you tell me before the season, you know, 300, 30, and 100, I would have signed the paper and just give me that. So we're very happy with him.
You mentioned Devers missing in postseason. Obviously, for Xander, you know, this won't be a normal October either, being in two World Series and four postseasons. Do you see maybe any sort of mental strain on those two guys or any sort of disappointment here?
No, I mean, just overall. They don't like, you know, they don't like where we're at. And obviously they're part of the future, and we're going to keep getting better. And they're part of what we're going to try to accomplish in the upcoming years. And there's a few things that we will get better. They have to work on it, and they know it, and they're going to keep improving. That's a cool thing about it. You know, we're talking about probably, you know, what they've done. You know, it's only happened once in, you know, the first time in the history of the game. You know, 30 homers and 50 doubles. And there's still room for improvement. You know, one is 22, the other one is 26. And they take pride on their craft, and I do believe that they're going to keep getting better.
All right, so there's the manager, and now we move forward getting ready for actually a couple cool things coming up on Thursday. Going to do a quick turnaround here because it is a day game. You know, the 2019 Minor League Award winners have been announced, and they'll be recognized at Fenway before the game, which is very nice. Like to see Trevor Kelly getting the Lou Gorman Award. That's the one given to a minor league player who has demonstrated, as they say, dedication and perseverance in overcoming obstacles, working his way up. It's a guy that actually grew up in New England, got relocated to North Carolina, has really worked hard, and he's already with the team, so that's perfect. But we'll see Trenton Casas as well, and only 19 years old, first-round pick in 2018, 26th overall. He was in A-ball this year. I know he only hit 256, but we're talking about 20 home runs at the age of 19, 26 doubles as well. He was a South Atlantic League All-Star, and the first Red Sox minor leaguer to have a 20 home run season before turning 20 since Xander Bogaerts did it in 2012. So we'll see him at Fenway. We're going to see a couple other guys as well. Defensive player of the year is Ryan Fitzgerald, which is a nice story, but he's 25 and he spent all year at A-ball. Pitcher of the year is Thad Ward, and only 22 years old. He too is an A-ball guy this year and kind of overachieved, 2.14 ERA overall. And we'll see Jaron Duran as well. He's 23 now, but this is a guy that you might remember started out hitting basically 400 for half the season, ended up hitting 303 between single A and double A, 46 stolen bases, which you like to hear about, only 5 home runs, but who knows, at 23, if he can find a little bit more pop, if he becomes somebody that eventually the Red Sox take a look at. But one way or another, you know, the reality of the Red Sox farm system, it's not as bad as a lot of people are painting it to be. I really believe that. Brian Matta reminds people of a young Carlos Zambrano. That's nice to hear. I like that comparison. Duran, who we just talked about, some people think he could be kind of a Jacoby Ellsbury light someday. Bobby Dalbec's a guy we've been hearing plenty about. You know, still could be a quadruple-A guy. We don't know. But he could be you know, kind of a Troy Gloss type from 20 years ago, too, on the high end. Tanner Houck, will he be a starter or a reliever? We don't know, but everybody loves his arm. There's some people in there. There's some stuff in the pipeline coming through. But anyway, a little bit of that is the winners of the minor league players of the year. They will be there at Fenway. And also our last chance to see Bruce Bochy. Hall of Fame managerial career. Now, I know he's got a career losing record, but also 3 World Series in 5 years' time. I think that punches your ticket. Maybe Chris Shaw gets into a game, too. But that would be nice. First round pick in 2015 was terrific at AAA for the year at Sacramento for the Giants. And he's a local guy, Boston College standout. So to get him on the field in the game on Thursday might not be bad. And we've already seen Mauricio Dubon, who was the Drew Pomeranz deal, and the guy that might end up being a big thing. Who knows, for San Francisco. It's supposed to be part of the Red Sox building blocks coming up through the ranks with Devers and company. But I think that the biggest thing that we know we're going to see on Thursday from the other side is Madison Bumgarner. And I'm excited about that. It's his first career start at Fenway. And his career is kind of hitting the twilight, too. You know, and it's funny because in this Giants decade here, their great run they've had, there are 2 really iconic guys. Have been the manager, Bochy, and the ace starter, Bumgarner. And I know Bumgarner is not what he used to be. It's the guy that allowed 1 run in 36 World Series innings on the way to those 3 rings. But he's probably heading out. I've always really liked Bumgarner just because he's really his own man. He won that Chevy truck as World Series MVP in 2014, showed up for 2015 spring training driving around in a Ford, and then proceeded to do commercials for them all year. It's a guy from Granite Falls, North Carolina, across Gunpowder Creek. I crap you not, 140-acre farm in Dudley Shoals. It's a guy that, as a wedding gift, gave his wife a cow. Seriously, grew up in a log cabin that his dad built with his own hands. And I mean, I love stories like this. Backroads guy, deep in the Appalachians. There's a Bumgarner Lane, a Bumgarner Oil, a Bumgarner Septic Tank Company. They say if you walk into the Granite Falls town office, the secretary is a Bumgarner. So, you know, they don't have much there. There's a bubble wrap factory about 10 miles down the road. But I've always kind of been secretly, weirdly fascinated with Madison Bumgarner, his upbringing, and what he's been able to do. Because the Red Sox and Giants have had similar runs, when you think about it. World Series titles for the Red Sox in 04, 07, and 13 was kind of their 10-year stretch before last year's World Series trip. And that was all with a group of homegrown players like Pedroia and Ellsbury and Euclid and Bogaerts and Lester and Papelbon and Buchholz. For the Giants, they kind of condensed that. Their World Series titles were spread over 5 years. It was 2010, 12, and 14. And they had the homegrown players. It was Bumgarner and Posey and Kane and Crawford and Panic and Belt and guys like that. I know none of those people are Willie Mays. And maybe we'll end it there before we do the quick look ahead to the Red Sox side of things. As much as we've been talking about Carl Yastrzemski, because of Mike Yastrzemski being in town, humor me just to let you people know that I think Willie Mays is still about the best thing ever. And I know that probably won't play real well in Boston, but you know, he was way before my time. But you talk about a guy that for his generation made someone of my generation want to just go back and learn some history. It wasn't Mantle for me. It wasn't even Yaz for me. It really was Willie Mays, because people said he was the all-around best baseball player of all time. Would run down fly balls like he was on a motorcycle or something. 12-time Gold Glover. And remember, that award wasn't created till 1957. Willie Mays broke in 5 years before that. So had the award been around that whole time, he probably would have won 17 Gold Gloves. 660 home runs. I know other people have achieved that since, but I mean, come on. Baseballs weren't flying like that back then. The guy missed 2 years due to service in the military, played all those games at Candlestick Park where all the surefire home runs were knocked down by the wind. And there are many who say, with different circumstances, Barry Bonds wouldn't have been muscling in on Hank Aaron all those years ago, but Barry Bonds would have been muscling in on his godfather, Willie Mays, for the home run record. And anybody you talk to from that era, anybody that faced him or played with him, what they talk about is the swagger. That even when he struck out, it was like, yeah, I struck out, but I'm still Willie Mays. And I think that's why I've always been fascinated with that archetype, if you will. So because it's the only time that the Red Sox play the Giants now until the next 3 or 4 years, it's my one chance to tell you that I secretly always appreciated Giants fans' love of Willie Mays, just like I'm sure hopefully they appreciate Red Sox fans' secret love of Carl Yastrzemski to this day. And again, the Yaz to Yaz first pitch, probably the highlight of all that went on Wednesday. So looking ahead to Thursday on the Red Sox side, it is a chance for Eduardo Rodriguez to keep on towards those 20 wins. That is not his goal. He says his goal is 200 innings, which I think he will check off. But 20 wins, to me, that's more impressive than 200 innings. Maybe not to Eddie, but it is to me, especially in this day and age where wins are not currency anymore. He's got 17 of those bad boys and only six losses, 3.64 ERA. Last time out, a dozen strikeouts against the Phillies, unfortunately took a no decision, but he's been going deep into games constantly, six or more innings, seven of his last eight starts. And the difference has been his command. He's commanding everything. He's got the great fastball command, obviously, inner half to righties. That's been there pretty much all year. He's been aggressive, establishing that part of the strike zone. He works the cutter really well, the changeup away to righties. You got all that working. You all of a sudden can do your thing, not just against lefties, but against righties, and that's been a huge difference for Eddie this year. So it's a really neat little pitching matchup, if nothing else, Eduardo Rodriguez against Madison Bumgarner. And then it's off on the lonely road trying to spoil the Tampa Bay Rays and their run at getting one of those wild card spots. So once again, didn't go real well at Fenway, but at least it went along quicker on Wednesday than it did on Tuesday. Red Sox lose, and they're slipping a little too close to the 500 mark for my personal taste and probably yours as well. And hopefully they make a little statement with Eddie on the mound on Thursday afternoon. This is Sox Daily. This is Josh Lewin. We'll leave it here and talk to you soon. Thanks so much for the download, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.